Hello, everybody. This is Travis Miller on the line with you today.
And this is Jimmy V.
Jimmy, nice to be here with you.
It's nice to be here with you.
But even nicer to be here with Jimmy, or nicer than being here with Jimmy, is the opportunity to be here with our guest, Timothy Seward. Timothy, say hi real quick.
Hi.
Hi. That's great. Timothy, listen, man, I appreciate you being on the line. And, you know, I say this for most of the experts that we feature in the book, when we've done these interviews with them, I tend to really do a big lead-in and a big build-up, and I want people listening to realize that that's exactly why they're experts featured in the book, because these are the people that we think the world of, and Timothy is certainly no exception. He's one of those people that, frankly, is one of the most powerful arrows in our quiver. We actually had to think not twice or three times, but several times about really even sharing this resource with you. Because Tim and his company, ROI Revolution, are basically an analytics firm. And I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'll let him tell you all about it. But they help us measure the effectiveness of all of our advertising, and they also help us get the maximum value, efficiency, and effectiveness out of our pay-per-click marketing. And this man is an absolute genius, and I think the people working for him might even be bigger geniuses.
Absolutely,
which is the key to his success.
Exactly, that's a big one. And,
we're data geeks. We're the kind of kids that on the playground we were in the corner taping our glasses together while everybody else was having fun on the swing set.
You know, and Timothy, I got to tell you, man, you're such a big asset to us, and I think as you know, I've recommended you to many people. And you also do work for some of our clients, some of our private clients, work that it goes above and beyond what we do for them because we think you bring so much value to the table.
Thank you.
And but anyway, this is not a commercial for you. This is really a content session. But I wanted everyone listening to know that this is the real deal. This is like serious hardcore, information and a serious hardcore guy to learn from. This is a guru, a master of his art. And Timothy Seward, glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I appreciate
that. I'm excited
to
have you here. I thought he was talking about me for a while there, and then I realized he was talking about you. So I guess I'll just be quiet and let the conversation go.
Well, we certainly feel the same way about you, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Not me, though.
No, not
and you too, Travis.
Oh, thanks. Well, that's great. But
takes a little coercion for you.
So, Timothy, let's get right into it here and talk about the because, you know, we're big on measuring performance.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that can make or break a marketing effort or a marketing campaign, and a campaign sometimes suggests like this finite campaign, like a short campaign, where, you know, to me, marketing is something that's ongoing, ever growing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So to measuring the effectiveness and knowing what marketing is working, to what degree it's working, really can make or break cause a positive return on investment or a negative return on investment, otherwise known as a loss, on your marketing. Because, you know, I find far too many business owners really have no idea what marketing is working for them and what marketing is not. Have you run into that?
Sure, absolutely, all the time. And really what it boils down to is, if you're going to spend $2,000 on a marketing campaign, whether it be print, radio, web, anything, wouldn't it be very, very useful to know if that $2,000 produced anything? So essentially what we do is we help people to implement a website tracking system that helps them measure not only their web traffic, their paid search traffic, and their banners and so forth, but as you mentioned earlier, it also allows them to track how much that postcard campaign with a special URL that redirected people to your website, how much that postcard campaign that you spent, $2,500 last month on did for you. So the whole key is at the end of the day, if you remember only one thing from this call, you want to make sure that you've got a website tracking system in place that can help you track the results of any online and offline marketing efforts which drive conversions on your website. So you really want to know exactly which marketing campaigns are working and which ones are failing, so you can stop spending your money on the failing campaigns, because you'll know, and spend even more money on the marketing campaigns that are successful.
Touche. I agree. Are you a sports fan, Timothy?
No, I'm sorry.
Me neither. Jim?
Nope.
Okay, so I'm going to try and do a sports analogy here.
And no one will know.
No one will know.
Get it right or wrong.
And all the sports fans will send us a mail and tell us we got all the stats wrong.
That's right. So if I get this really wrong, guys, forgive me. But I think it's pretty fairly simple. So football, right? That's the one with the – no, I know what football is. I'm just teasing, of course. But football.
That oblong-shaped brown.
The oblong-shaped brown ball. Brown ball with the white on it. The little, yeah. I threw one of those once as a child. No, my dad would be so upset, by the way. He loves football. He just wants me to be such a football fan. And so, but here's the thing. Football, the game of football is not really about 80, 90-yard touchdowns all the time.
Right.
You want it to be. When you watch a football game, and see, that's why
that's,
I'm not...
That's the exciting part.
Right. You want it to always be about the ball flying through the air 40, 50, 60 yards at a time, and then landing in this guy's arms as he's in the air crossing the end zone. Right?
Or he's running back the entire length of the field on a kickoff return.
Absolutely. Exactly.
That's awesome to watch.
It is. Or, and let's do other sports. Maybe we'll sort of we'll average the commentary over all these, and we'll somehow get it right. Like, basketball. It's not all about just these major league slam dunks flying through the air, right?
Mm-hmm. Or half-court swish shots.
Yeah, right. In baseball, it's not about home runs and grand slams, right? Baseball's a game of doubles and triples and singles.
Can you do NASCAR?
No, I cannot. Timothy, can you?
Absolutely not. I've got somebody in my office who can, though.
Okay. Good try, though. Can you do water polo?
No. Something with the ball, I'm sure.
Okay, so and football's not about the touchdown. So it's like these magical moments in sports where all the things go right, all the stars line up, and, you know, the ball goes where it's supposed to go, and the points rack up. Well, those are like the flukes, you know what I mean? More typically, when you watch a great team play, it's really about, you know, the game is won. Because I used to kind of like football, and I used to say that football is a game of first downs. Really, at any given play, you're really going for 10 yards. You're going for the first down so you can stay in the game and keep moving toward the end zone. Once you miss the first down on the first down on the fourth down, then you got to give the ball over. Okay, so your turn is over then. So as you can keep possession of the ball, you can keep forward momentum and you can control the game. Just like in basketball, I know there's a shot clock, right? Isn't there? Isn't there a timer?
Sure.
But the idea is to keep the ball moving around and really keep possession of that ball as much as possible, so you don't have to give it over. And it's about, and basketball is a game of rebounds and a game of passing more so than just hitting the you know, hoop from half court.
Sure.
And so marketing likewise, and maybe this was long-winded, but I think it's important.
I think it was, but that's okay.
Thanks for your support, Jim. Marketing likewise is a game of passes and dribbling and first downs and singles and doubles. It's like most of the times it's not the super-duper home runs, knock it out of the park sort of results. Usually it's just positive ROI.
Yeah, you know what, and I think it really takes a lot of, excuse me, all of those medium-sized to small results before you know it, have enough data to actually go for that home run or that big shot. You know, obviously you can get lucky, but if you're going to do it strategically, you need that test data. You need the data to tell you where to go, you know, what's working, what's not working, so you can tweak, and then you have a home run on your hands.
But a lot of people sort of
are lined up.
A lot of people try to measure marketing effectiveness by saying it was a home run or it wasn't. And so if it wasn't this, you know, blow the doors off your business sort of result, then you say it didn't work.
Oh, and I think that's why they don't track, because they just either go,
well, exactly.
Well, it's either going to be visibly a winner,
right,
or it's going to be visibly a loser.
Exactly.
And that's not necessarily
the case. But in reality, let's take Timothy. Let's take pay-per-click marketing. a change in click-through rate or a change in conversion rate of a single percent can mean vast swings between negative return on investment versus positive return on investment, right?
And those are like your first downs.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like just, you know, the small victories are your first downs. These are the, and if you're not measuring, you're not even going to notice.
That's right.
And so it's the accumulation of these small victories that, in my opinion, that's what makes marketing a real business tool instead of just a gimmick, you know, that, like a tent sale. And people show up to the tent or they don't. You know, that's simple. That's basic. But the kind of thing that marketing is an engine that consistently drives leads and conversions into your business, well.
As a systematic process.
That's different. And that's Timothy. See, that's what you make possible.
And we're thrilled to do it. We enjoy it.
Do you think that I made any sense out of that?
Yeah, totally, 100%. It's really, we tell people right up front, when you're starting a pay-per-click marketing campaign and you're working with a company such as our company, ROI Revolution, it's not going to be the magic silver bullet that overnight transforms your account from bleeding cash to making money hand over fist. Sure, it will eventually become a money machine where you stick a dollar in one end and you pull $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, $7, $10 out. It will be that, but it won't be that way overnight. We've got to do a series of restructuring and ad testing, A-B split testing, keyword research, negative keyword research, and all this stuff just takes time, and really it's just a matter of stringing the first downs together over a several months period of time.
Mm-hmm. But this really illustrates the importance of measuring, don't you think?
Totally, because you know, you could spend all day doing all these little tweaks, and it's not necessarily going to get you closer to any of your goals unless you have the right analytics data coming back and then knowing what to do with that data. And if you do that, you know, more progress can be made in 6 months by that process of tweaking and then checking. Did it improve? Did it not improve? If it did improve, how much did it improve by? More progress can be made in just a short number of months with the data, with the feedback, than without it. If you don't have it, you're flying blind.
What advice would you give to let's say, a business owner who runs a brick-and-mortar business, not necessarily an online business, who has not yet started tracking the effectiveness of their advertising?
Sure.
What advice could you give them?
Well, you know, certainly poll your customers, ask them. One of the things that I was in a brick-and-mortar business in a previous lifetime and actually had a automobile accessory installation company. So, you know, we installed, like, automotive sunroofs, and we sold, you know, spoilers and we sold truck toys and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we used to do, because we did a lot of heavy radio advertising, I had 4 retail stores within one MSA, mm-hmm. Is when we'd pull the vehicle into the service facility bays to do the work, is we religiously wrote down, we turned the radio on if it was not on, and we wrote down what station it was tuned to. So we, you know, we were spending 5 figures a month on radio advertising. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to know for our customers and for the certain products that they were coming in for, what radio station were they listening to.
Sure, yeah.
So that's something that a brick and mortar, it's low tech, it's something a brick and mortar retailer can do right now. If they don't have a service facility where they're pulling cars and trucks in to kind of write down the radio station, they can certainly ask, you know, when you pulled up today, what radio station did you have your radio tuned to? And they might say, well, you know, I didn't have a radio station. I was listening to a CD or I was listening to satellite radio, and that's okay. You certainly want to know that too. The other thing that we did was when folks came in for a new product that we were just promoting, and we were doing a lot of marketing, advertising, kind of just get the word out about this new product. And they made that purchase. We asked them, we had a form on the checkout counter, and we asked them about 5 questions. We didn't overwhelm them with, you know, 20 questions in 20 minutes. We asked them 5 simple questions, all marketing related, and then a few were demographic related, like, you know, we kind of observed male or female or roughly what age group they were in. So in launching a new product, you know, a lot of times you don't know what media will give you the best results, but by having a 5 or 6 question form at your checkout counter, you can ask, and people have just given you the money. They're happy to tell you. So there's a lot of things that retailers can do.
Now, what about integrating offline marketing with online? Because, you know, let's face it, online is easier to track than offline. You know,
no question.
Because you can follow the footprints of every visitor that comes to your site.
Totally.
So what about offline advertising and integrating that with online tracking? How could they do that?
Sure. Well, we highly recommend it. Let me just give you an example. We worked with a customer out of the North Georgia mountains in some very small town, maybe 80, 90 miles north of Atlanta. And this company was absolutely, they're just fanatical about tracking. They what they did is they had a woodworking business that they sold, you know, they sold like cabinet doors and they sold handles and they sold table legs and, you know, sort of a low-tech business, but they were operating in a very smart, very high-tech way. So what they did is whenever they took on an ad in a trade publication like, you know, Carpenters Today or, you know, Woodworking Weekly or something like that, what they do is they put a special website URL, what some people call a vanity URL, in their ad for that particular publication. So, for instance, if they were promoting table legs and they were advertising in, you know, Woodworking Weekly, they'd and the name of their domain was, you know, the name of their company .com, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is instead of putting the name of their company.com in the Woodworking Weekly magazine when they're advertising this table leg product, mm-hmm. is they'd buy a URL that no one else had used yet, like tablelegsusa.com or something, you know, different than their normal URL. And so then they would simply put the Google Analytics, and we helped them with this, they put the Google Analytics tracking codes in that domain redirect.
Oh, okay.
And then what happened was whenever someone came to their site and typed in that website address, it told Google Analytics, okay, you know, pay attention, this visitor is coming as a result of these tracking codes. And then it would follow the visitor through the site. And if they made a purchase on the site, it would deposit that money against that magazine's you know, tracking system.
Very cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it was so cool because at the end of the year, you know, the sales person would call from, you know, Woodworking Weekly and say, hey, how's it going? Would you like to sign up for next year? And they'd simply hit a few keys on their keyboard, bring up Google Analytics, bring up that campaign, and they'd say, yeah, we'd like to, in fact, we'd like to increase our ads. You know, it did pretty good. So, you know, they wouldn't share that it, you know, they made an 800% ROI or something like that. They didn't want to get the just like the advice in your book in the last chapter or the second to the last chapter that talks about that you don't want to, you know, essentially show your hand as to how much money you made. But, you know, you want to say, yeah, we did pretty good. And then the next salesperson that calls from, you know, Cabinet Today, and they looked at the stats, and of course the stats didn't do very well for Cabinet Today. They could say, well, you know, really don't want to advertise anymore. Don't want to, you know, commit to that $2,500 contract or $5,000 contract next month.
Right.
And so by just a series of doing this over time, month after month after month, you're going to stop spending money with the losers, and you're going to just want to spend more and more money with the winners, because the winners are providing you with a money machine, a little black box where you put a dollar in and out pops $2 to $3 to $4 to $5.
There's nothing better.
And you know what is so great about that is the fact that that tracking is nearly foolproof, man. When you put a vanity URL in that ad, which they can't, you know, because sometimes you'll put your URL with the slash and then the woodworking today or whatever, and people will backtrack for some reason. They don't like to show their hand and say that they've been attracted by advertising for some reason. So they'll
sure.
go to your main site versus going to a slash, and you know it'll screw up your tracking. By using a vanity URL and then hard coding that analytics code in the redirect,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you are basically eliminating junk results.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that is so critical. And I love using vanity URLs personally because I think I think you can match them to the campaign. They're always more fun. They, you know, you can prevent the spillover of the tracking, which I think is important. You know, but either way, you're tracking way more scientifically and way more professionally than you are if you're, you know, having to use the manual methods we discussed earlier, like asking people, you know, what radio station they were listening to or, you know, how they heard about you or, you know, because some people just don't like to admit that they were influenced by advertising or don't even know they're being influenced by advertising.
Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. You know, this is a new day and age that we live in. Large companies are much more analytical and much more detailed than they've ever been. So if you're a small to mid-sized company and you're thinking, you know, hey, I really don't have the time to be doing this type of work, or, you know, how important could this be? I will tell you, the big boys are doing this. I see this over and over and over again. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal with a very large and popular New York City-based retailer, and they were quoted as saying, "We read our Google Analytics reports every morning like some folks read the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. We read it as an indicator to tell us what marketing campaigns are working, which ones aren't, so we can spend more money with the folks that are making us money and spend less with the ones that aren't." So it is definitely happening, and if you're not doing this, you're falling behind.
Well, we always say marketing is really your only option. And if you are marketing, which you need to be if you're looking to grow and you're looking to actually create a business that, you know, makes you money, a business that's enjoyable, simple, and prosperous, as we talk about in the book, you have to market. And then if you're going to market, you might as well know which marketing works and which marketing doesn't. So you can, as you just said, double up on the stuff that does work and pull back on the stuff that doesn't. I mean, otherwise, it's just that's bad investing. It's like, you know, picking stocks on a dartboard and then never watching what happens to them. You know,
absolutely.
Okay, well, if one's going, you know, if a company you buy have stock in is going out of business, you might want to reconsider the investment. You know what I mean? It's just, it's pretty cut and dry on that, I think. Travis, you want to chime in on that concept?
Nope. I'd like to move on to something sexier.
Okay.
And
Viva la sexy.
Viva la sexy. I saw the Sex and the City movie trailer on TV today. Not that I have any interest whatsoever in that, but it inspired me to be sexy.
You are inspired. Let's
man,
rock.
Man, are you being affected by brand advertising?
Yeah, well, it was on the news. They were talking about it. But let's talk about, because, you know, all this, okay, great. Tracking. This is like calculus.
This sounds complicated, right?
By the way, I love it. But I'm putting myself in everyone else's shoes going, come on. How do I get people? I'll tell you what. I'll worry about tracking once I get some leads. Okay? You know what I'm saying, Timothy?
Sure.
So let's talk about the other side of what you specialize in, which is getting the traffic to the website.
Okay.
That's where a lot of people, let's face it, that's where a lot of people are stuck. They got a website, and there's absolutely nobody on it. So,
give me the traffic.
Yeah, give me the traffic. Let's talk about that.
What's
your advice to someone who's got a website, no traffic?
Ooh, got it. Well, that's easy. Google has, you know, sort of revolutionized. Actually, we should step back and kind of give credit where credit's due. I think it was February 16th. I may be off on the date by just a couple of days, but I just heard this at a conference I was speaking at on pay-per-click advertising. I believe it was February 16th, 1998. A guy by the name of Bill Gross with Idea Labs launched the first pay-per-click advertising. And the name of the company was GoTo. GoTo.com back in 1998. GoTo, by the way, later became what was known as Overture, and then Overture got bought out by Yahoo Search Marketing. So right now, that concept that Bill came up with and launched in February of 1998 is still in use today under the name of Yahoo Search Marketing. But what the concept was is, you know, for starting at a penny, we'll put you in the number one position for your keywords on our website. So if you're a plumber in Chicago or you are a technical services company in New Orleans, when folks type in your keywords, leaky pipe Chicago, plumber Chicago, managed services New Orleans, or tech consulting firm New Orleans, when they type that in for a bid which starts as low as a penny, you can be in the number one position. Yeah, you may also be in the number five position based on the auction, the marketplace for your keywords. But the bottom line is you can buy your way to the top of the search engines. Isn't that exciting? And so if you have a market and you've got a starving crowd out there, you need the traffic, you can just go to Google, go to Yahoo, go to MSN, and you can buy it for a penny a click, a buck and a half a click. In some very competitive industries, maybe as much as $18 or $20 a click. But you can buy that traffic, and if you can then measure the traffic, you'll know which traffic to spend more on, which traffic to not spend any money on in the future, and you can, you know, get this little money machine going.
So in other words, you can get to the top of the search engine. How long, let's say a person decided to do it, how long from the day they start would it take to be at the top of the search engine?
Sure. Well, you can actually, you know, Google, Yahoo, MSN, they make it very easy to spend money with them. Sometimes a little bit too easy, to be frank. So, you know, if you're willing to bid, you know, $25 a click, $5 a click, whatever it is, to put you on the top of your keywords, you can absolutely do that. Of course,
it's the same day probably, right?
Yeah, you can be on it in 15, you know, you can be on it in 15 minutes, mm-hmm. Really. That's what Google's promise is. You know, in 15 minutes, access millions of potential customers. Of course, if your market is smaller and if it's localized, you're not going to access millions, but that's okay. Still access thousands or hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it can happen very, very fast. The real money, however, in pay-per-click advertising is in doing it right, in knowing what reports to look at, what to do after you see those reports, and once you've got an analytics account, and we, of course, help people implement Google Analytics because we love Google Analytics, and we also happen to be a very important partner with Google on the Google Analytics product. And, of course, it is free, so that kind of makes it fun, too. You use Google Analytics. Once it's set up and operating as an optimization tool, you'll get all of the information that you need to increase your conversions, spend more money on what's working, less money on what isn't, and really turn your website into that money-making machine that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. There's this marriage then between the analytics side and the pay-per-click side.
Yeah, you need both. I mean, you know, you got all this great analytics and it's set up properly and it's operating as a phase four optimization tool. But if you don't have any traffic, it really is not going to make you any money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the traffic without the optimization tool in place, then you're just going to be flying blind.
Give me some examples of other sort of different types of smaller businesses that you've seen use Google or, for that matter, Yahoo, or, for that matter, MSN, pay-per-click marketing effectively.
Sure. You know, you can. It pretty much runs the gamut. I've got a number of great examples. Let's start with blinds. You know, the window blind industry.
Uh-huh.
You know, very localized operation. Somebody types in window blinds Charleston, South Carolina. You want to be there if you have a window blinds installation company. We have, of course, an orthodontist. One of your private clients that we work with. You know, someone needs, got bad teeth. They want their teeth straightened in that particular locale. Well, then we want to help them find that. We've worked with a medical doctor. There's a medical doctor that, because of the internet and because of pay-per-click advertising, was able to specialize his practice into a real niche surgical operation that now, because of pay-per-click advertising, he doesn't have to do the generalist stuff that everyone else in his niche or his practice does, but he can do a very, very fine niche surgery, and he's now number one. He's the number one MD in the world in performing this elective type of surgery. And all because of the internet and because of pay-per-click marketing. He actually now has patients that will fly to him from other countries, and he's based in a very tiny town here in North Carolina. So there's three examples right there. Another example, we work with a bankruptcy attorney in our area and help some folks have hard times financially, and they might want a little bit more information about their options under bankruptcy. And if they're in his market area, then and they go to the website, they'll at the Google, they'll find him, Yahoo or MSN. So I don't know if you need any more examples, but we're loaded with them.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is I want you to answer this honestly. You've read the book.
Been lying to me up till now.
Answer this one honestly,
you'll
Jim. You'll see when I ask the question why I say that. You read Gravitational Marketing.
Uh-huh.
And you read the chapter on where we talk about generating leads from the internet, and specifically the section where we talk about pay-per-click.
Of course, that was my favorite part of the whole book, and that was chapter 13, by the way.
Now, here's the thing. We talk about 36 different ways to generate leads in the book. So, you know, I believe that pay-per-click marketing is an entire book unto itself. In fact, of course, it is. I mean, there are multiple books on the topic already, and good books, I should point out.
Sure.
And so we gave a couple of pages to it. So my question to you is, what's the big thing that we left out that you think we should have said in that section about pay-per-click that would help the readers of this book who are listening to this get a better understanding of it?
Sure. It's blocking and tackling work. Let's bring in the football example. Let's bring that back into this discussion.
We're all well qualified for that.
Sure. So it's blocking and tackling. It's not glamorous. It becomes less fun over time for most people because, you know, most of our customers that call us, that end up hiring us, say pretty much the same thing. You know, I've got this membership to our local country club. I was only there, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times last year. I'm working 70 hours a week. I hardly have any time to manage my pay-per-click advertising. I know you need new negatives. I know you need new keywords. I know we need to use the peel and stick concept that Perry Marshall teaches in his great book on Google AdWords that you also featured in your book. I know you need to, you know, help define new landing pages that are needed, but it's just so much work, and I only have so many hours in the day. I want to enjoy my life. You know, we're making money in our company, but I really can't spend another 5 hours a month doing this. Can you help me? So what you left out was that it is a lot of very detailed work. Now, you know, the folks that I hire, and we've got 20 people on the payroll now here at ROI Revolution, the folks we hire happen to love this stuff. They love the detail, love the data analysis, love writing new ads to try to beat the old control ad with A-B split tests. But it is a lot of blocking and tackling work, and it has to be done. You can't set it and forget it with pay-per-click advertising. You constantly have to be on top of it.
Well, you know, we set our pay-per-click advertising and forgot our pay-per-click advertising for a while, and, you know, that's when the business starts to dry up while you're off doing other things. So then we came up with a brand-new way to actually automate the pay-per-click process and set it and forget it, and that is the best decision we ever made, which is turning it over to ROI Revolution. So,
cool.
Now, basically, we
it is set it and forget it.
Because we just, with our guys over there, we just get a phone call, you know, every week or so, every couple of weeks, and just go, that sounds good. That's,
absolutely.
That's
and it's not always the golf course, but, you know, in your case, more time with your babies, more time on the boat, you know, more time at the beach.
Sure it is. But, you know, there's also something else to this. And like I said, this isn't a commercial for you guys. I mean, you know, this is really meant for the business owner who's thinking about this stuff, wants to get more information on it. I want them to be able to, you know, explore this topic deeper by listening to this. And also, though, I do want there's the concept of not having time to do it, but there's another concept, which is not being qualified to do it. Exactly. And,
good point.
And it's like, it's a lot of work to – you have to be intelligent in a certain way to be able to do this.
Absolutely. No question about it.
It's sort of like looking at the Matrix. When you pull your Google AdWords report, you know, or your analytics report, it's kind of like the Matrix. You know what I mean? And you just look at all these numbers and you go, well, what am I going to do with this? And unless you know what to make of those numbers, and then even if you learn what to do with those numbers – by the way, I should point out – Go get Perry Marshall's book, read it if you're serious about pay-per-click, and try and do it yourself. You can. We did our own pay-per-click marketing for 4 years. And let me tell you, we were very profitable with it. But here's the thing. Once we relinquished that, we got the time that we were spending on that back to do other things. But then it started working better.
Yeah, that was the key.
And
it worked significantly better.
Let's define what better means, because I think this is important for the uninitiated, okay?
All right.
Better means the amount of money that you pay to get a click may go down. That's one way it could be better.
Sure.
Okay? And that could be better because the relevancy of the ad or the types of keywords or the organization of the keywords is done in such a way so that the ad matches the keywords better. So you
negative
get more,
keywords.
There are negative keywords so that irrelevant searches are filtered out so that ultimately you get more clicks per times your ad is shown, which they call an impression, right?
Hmm.
You correct me if I go wrong here.
No, you're right on.
Okay, so the higher percentage rate, the higher that ratio is, the number of clicks per impressions, theoretically, the lower you can pay for a click because Google rewards relevancy the same way they reward bid price.
Absolutely.
And so the more relevant your ad is, the less that you can pay for a click. Now, but that's not the only measure because sometimes you may want to pay more or sometimes you may not even really be in a position to lower the keyword price. The other way that you can improve this is to connect keywords with the relevant ad, as we just said, and then connect the click, the post-click, with a relevant landing page.
Absolutely.
So that what someone was searching for ends up to be what they get when they click through. I see it all the time. I wrote about a newsletter a couple of months ago. A Men's Warehouse ad. I was searching for men's braces, okay, like suspenders.
Yep.
And I had seen the James Bond movie Casino Royale, and in there he's wearing white braces. And
you needed white braces.
Yeah, I said, I need white braces. By the way, I wear them all the time with my suit now. My suits, I have white braces, and that's all I wear now because it blends into my white shirts, but it's very, very sort of classic, sophisticated look, okay?
It makes them feel like an international agent.
Exactly.
Are you ordering your martini shaken but not stirred?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome. And so I was searching for these, and I, you know, if just for fun, take a look on the internet and try and find white braces. It's a mess because there's a lot of internet marketers out there. Or I shouldn't call them internet marketers. There are a lot of men's clothing providers who are marketing on the internet who just have junk, like terrible websites that have millions of different types of suspenders that are all crazy colors, and white is typically not one of them. Well, in my search for it, I saw a pay-per-click ad by Men's Warehouse. And when I clicked on that ad, what I got was the Men's Warehouse page with a page not found code in the content.
Oh.
And then I went back weeks later and checked the exact same thing, and there it was again, page not found.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so I've recently seen a number of ads where when you click it, you end up on the home page for the company, and it has absolutely no relevance to what I was searching for. And so what happens is, or the other problem is you land on a page that has no, that doesn't ask you to take any action. So you don't take any action. And so what happens is there's no conversion, and that's the other metric that we get from Google AdWords, is the conversions, right?
Yes.
So I bought a click, now someone's on my site, what do? Do they become a lead? In gravitational marketing context, do they request some piece of free information? And if they do, then great, then we just got ourselves a lead. And maybe let's say we get 3 leads for every 10 clicks. And we say, okay, great, then this is our cost per lead. And so what by managing this whole complex process like the matrix, what you guys have done for us was decrease the cost per conversion. So where maybe before it cost me, say, you know, $30 to get a conversion, now it cost me $20 to get a conversion. So now for the same amount of money, I'm able to buy a lot more. You know, I'm able to buy, what is it?
50% more.
50% more conversions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I increase my leads by 50%. It's fantastic. So I would encourage anyone to learn about this, noodle around with it, but then when you understand the power of it, get some professional help. Timothy, talk about, speaking of free information, talk about a way that, because I know you do a lot of this, talk about a way that someone could take this topic even further, explore this more in depth.
Sure. Yeah, there's two paths, the do-it-yourself path and do-it-for-you path, which obviously we're working with you all on,
mm-hmm.
and we encourage both. So if you're ready to learn more, you're ready to learn how you can use Google Analytics to really kickstart, jumpstart, or turbocharge your pay-per-click advertising, you'll want to go to our website and sign up today. We've got a free web-based seminar. It's right on our homepage, upper left-hand corner, and it's a free webinar, also known as a web-based seminar. It's about 75 minutes in length, and we do it live every couple weeks, and it's called How to Kick Your Pay-Per-Click Advertising into Overdrive in 3 months with Google Analytics. And again, it's totally free. Just sign up. Go to our homepage at www.roirevolution.com and just look for how to kick your pay-per-click advertising to overdrive in 3 months with Google Analytics and sign up, and you'll be glad you did. It's a great, very fast-moving seminar, and whether you want to do this yourself, you're a do-it-yourselfer, and you want to get into the nitty-gritty, or whether you want to let the kids that were in the corner taping their glasses together do it for you. While you are on the swing set, we are happy to do that too. So just go to roirevolution.com. If you want a shortcut, you can go to roirevolution.com/seminar.
Okay.
Awesome. Awesome.
Timothy, great speaking with you as always.
Thank you. You too.
And good material, good content. And I appreciate you, I appreciate what you do with these training. And I recommend... in fact, I highly encourage anyone listening to this to go ahead and do that.
Me too.
If you're interested in this topic, to take that webinar and, you know, explore this topic to a greater degree.
That sounds great. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. And, of course, to reiterate, we give you guys our highest recommendation. You get on the Jim and Travis Recommend site, your information is there, and it's got the little orange man standing next to it with the thumbs up, meaning
nice.
That's your... You're our guys.
Thank you. Thank you. We like to enable all of our clients to do what you all do, which is defy gravity.
Defy gravity, baby. All right. Great to have you, and thanks for everything, Timothy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.